So then what would you recommend people do to try and reduce their own consumption?
The more awareness a person has is always going to put them in a better position to understand what their footprint is. There's a lot of media out there. There's a lot of ways that people can get involved in understanding what their footprint is. Things that are so simple from just staying home, actually asking yourself, do I really need to go to the store today? What is it that I'm actually getting in my car and doing this extra trip for? I guess the pandemic has kind of facilitated that, and at least it has in my life, where I think every single time I have to leave the house or buy something or go and do a task, I'm really considering whether that's actually necessary. And I think that's something that we could all be doing, you know, even outside of the pandemic experience, in terms of climate change. Do we really need to be doing these things? Awareness and actually motivation to change are two very, very big parts of it.
Right. And that was another thing, is that at the beginning of the pandemic, people were saying, oh, this is going to be great for reducing emissions from cars. And I think that that has certainly been true. So there are strangely some environmental benefits to people being under lockdown.
Yeah. And another interesting one was the area of marine traffic. For me, that's just a personal interest area. There was so much less marine traffic in terms of boating and moving of freighters and things like that, that there was a lot more opportunities for wildlife biologists to clearly hear whale songs and different sounds that the acoustic biologists would be looking for. So yeah, that presented them a really unique opportunity.
That is so exciting. Are there any opportunities like that in your field of research that have arisen out of the pandemic or out of 2020's events?
You know, in the area of science communication, yeah, I think that the pandemic has really brought to light a rampant misuse and overuse of poor science, and also the use of pseudoscience and actually the use of direct misinformation. That's been a really big area because of my work is essentially authentic communication. And so, yes, I find myself in a lot of interesting and new scenarios with respect to people not understanding what's actually real information and what's not. That happens a lot in the fashion industry too. There's a lot of greenwashing and a lot of promises that don't really mean anything and that are just meant to actually trick the customer into thinking that companies are doing something for the environment when they really aren't.
There's a lot to be said about the vaccine in that regard, because people are sharing a lot of misinformation, a lot of pseudoscience about the vaccine. It's almost impossible to not see it. What is your response to that as someone who has championed scientific literacy so much throughout your career?
Techniques of vetting the right communications are very important. I'm pretty outspoken about vaccine advocacy and making sure people understand why it is that we use vaccines and what it is that vaccines do. There's so much fear. And I think whenever there's fear, there's going to be anger and mismanagement of information. And so taking the fear out of it is a really important part of it.
How much do you think social media is playing a part in spreading these falsehoods and lies?
A huge role. And it's interesting because it's kind of a double-edged sword in the sense that there's a lot of good information being spread on the internet as well. And so I think what we have to do moving forward is really create media and educational programs that help people to know the difference. And also sourcing is a really important one as well. It's important for people to understand who it is that they're getting their information from. So follow that profile. Don't just simply retweet or share something without checking out your sources. That's a responsibility that we can all take care of to make sure that, you know, what we're sharing is actually legitimate.
How much do you think governments have a role in communication of science?
The government has a massive role to play in terms of education. Our government puts a lot of great messaging together on their own websites and through their own social media channels. Could they be doing more? I guess the answer is yes, all governments could be doing more, but I will recognize that Canada actually has, you know, a science advisor for policy And that's a fairly new position in the past few years, that there is actually someone whose job it is to advise about science in policies that we create in our government, in all kinds of policy. And I think that puts us in such a better position than our neighbor to the south. That's something I'm always proud to let my students know, is that our government actually includes a role for an advisor specifically for the sciences.
I wanted to go back to climate change. Do you think that one country alone can change their policies and make a big difference? Or do you think it really needs to be a collective effort?
Something that we've seen the immediate fallout from with respect to the Trump administration is that the world really looks to the US to guide it in a lot of ways, especially with respect to sustainability and policy in the area of climate change. So I think because, in addition to the actual fact that climate change is occurring and these changes are actually happening on our planet, in the last several years, the world has lost a major voice that's previously been the leading voice in how these things can be tackled and how we can decide how to tackle them by employing scientists and really prioritizing science. So yes, I have great hopes that the new administration is going to get right back on that. I note that one of the very first things that Joe Biden did today was cancel the XL pipeline, the XL Keystone. And I think that's a really beautiful thing to do on his first day. And it sets the tone for an administration that really does care about science and the climate and the future of our planet.
We hear very dire warnings and predictions, you know, that it's getting too late to save the planet. As a scientist and as someone who's worked in this field, how much time do you actually think humanity has to reverse the damage?
The amount of time that it takes depends on the amount of players that are agreeing to act in a sustainable way. I think that humanity is smart enough to figure its way out of immediate problems. Look at how much we have done in the past year to solve this COVID problem. I guess if you want to identify it, is that we can motivate and mobilize ourselves to take steps when we absolutely have to. I fear that the effects of climate change are going to get to such a drastic stage that we won't be able to ignore it anymore, especially the Western world won't be able to ignore it. And then that may be when we call to action and actually really stop our use of carbon-based fuels, which is pretty much the bottom line. We have to stop burning carbon. That's just what we have to stop doing. We have to use other ways of creating energy. What's going to happen ultimately in the future? I mean, the biologist in me says, who knows what humanity will do? I think that the cockroaches and the animals that have been here for many millions of years will continue to thrive in their environments. We may not. We are our own greatest threat. And I do believe we may actually cause our own extinction.
You are speaking to a fear that I think is on a lot of people's minds, especially a lot of people in my generation. Being a millennial myself, I'm 23 years old, so I'm kind of right on the cusp there. But I did want to circle back and ask you one question about that, because we are on a community campus radio station. A lot of people who are listening to this are probably going to be around my age as well. And you said earlier that millennials are more passionate than any other generation so far that you've seen in terms of pushing environmentalism and climate action. Do you think that that's true even with the younger generation now coming of age and starting to become political voices?
Yeah, I think because we are in such uncharted territory as a species right now, you know, we have just gone digital in the last decade or two. The experiences that our younger generations are having are actually pretty new. I think because our younger generations are so much more exposed to the way that the world is, the way they can communicate to people across the world. I know in my own children's classrooms, they often have Skype a scientist or Skype with a classroom across the world. I think this kind of power gives a better perspective to our up and coming students, which I think probably lends them to having a more global perspective about issues on sustainability and how one person's or one country's actions can actually reverberate all the way across the world to be felt somewhere else. I feel like younger generations have a greater awareness about that because they have been exposed to the internet and so much information from such a young age.
Yeah. So then the question, I suppose, moving forward is, even though we could absolutely, yes, possibly cause our own extinction, is there still hope? What do you think?
I think that humanity is going to have to change its priorities. The model of consumerism and economy, the way it's developed in the Western world, that simply can't work for the future. For other countries who are chasing that dream, there isn't enough resources. Because of this sort of dire need for change, we have these up-and-coming generations who are looking for creative solutions and who are doing things that we didn't actually even think of. And again, I think maybe that speaks, Allie, to the question about, you know, young people being exposed to the internet in such a global heartbeat, if you will, from such a young age. I think that it does allow them, give them tools to have more creative solutions and potential for changing the way that systems and the way that major economic systems work for us. I think there's absolutely hope because our new our younger generations are motivated and intelligent. They have at their fingertips a lot of technologies that could be used, I think, in different ways to make them more palatable for the planet.
Well, you were a great guest. Thank you so much.
Okay, bye, guys.